The following Dharma talk was given at Boundless Way Zen Temple in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Normally, at this point in a sesshin, we'd have heard a longish Dharma talk in the morning, and then here in the evening, a short encouragement talk. But because we went on our silent walk this morning, we missed that longish Dharma talk, so I'm going to give a short Dharma talk tonight and maybe take it as encouragement. All these talks are meant to be encouraging of our practice that we are well engaged in here now on this, our second night of sesshin. We've done a lot of walking, a lot of sitting. And the four teachers for this sesshin decided among ourselves that we wanted to look into a particular koan, one that repeats in two different koan collections that are part of our curriculum. Whenever a koan repeats, you know it's important. And this one feels especially important to us these days. It shows up in the Blue Cliff Record, which is a Rinzai collection, a Linji Connect collection, and it also shows up in the Book of Serenity, which is a Soto collection. So I'm going to read you a version of this koan. It's not that long, and just say a little bit about it as we begin to look into this pretty ancient text. This story concerns a teacher named Da Sui. It's number 29 in the Blue Cliff Record and number 30 in the Book of Serenity. And Da Sui was someone who lived more or less in the 9th century in China. And he was also someone who wandered around quite a bit. It's said that he worked with 60 different teachers. So working with four teachers here at the sesshin, it's, I guess, small potatoes. But here is the story that we'll be looking into, and I'm just going to say, as I said, a few words about it. Case 29 in the Blue Cliff Record. A monk asked Da Sui, "The conflagration at the end of the eon sweeps through, and the universe is totally destroyed. I wonder, is this one destroyed or not?" Da Sui said, "It is destroyed." The monk said, "If so, then this goes along with it." Da Sui said, "It goes along with it." So this is a translation by Thomas Cleary. The translation we use in Boundless Way is a little different. You'll probably hear some of it. But this first line, I hope, is a question that troubles you too, like it did this monk who came to this great teacher, Da Sui. The teaching in Buddhist philosophy, that is, in the teachings of the Dharma that are not necessarily Zen teachings, that are mythological, philosophical, is that there are these things called kalpas, which are very, very long ages, longly experienced times, that the universe comes into itself and then eventually is destroyed. And in some translations of this koan, instead of talking about the conflagration at the end of the eon, it's referred to as the great kalpa fire, the fire that burns up everything. And this monk is asking, really, does it really burn up everything? And this is what we'll be looking into, of course. There is another version of this koan where somebody goes to a different teacher, asks the same question, and the teacher said, no, It's not destroyed, don't worry. Everything will still persist. But we'll begin with this one. And it's interesting to me that in this philosophy or cosmology of Buddhism, this story of kalpas beginning and coming into form and then bursting into flames, we see a reflection of our own lives. The tradition is that a kalpa, which is millions and millions and millions of years old, billions, trillions of years in every kalpa. There's some beautiful imagery about how long a kalpa is. It's the amount of time it takes a bird flying over a mountain with a piece of silk in its beak and brushing the top of the mountain for the mountain to disintegrate. So that's a lot of bird journeys there. An inconceivable amount of time. One of the things that I notice, and you may have noticed it at Sesshin, is how time starts to become strange. That all of our sitting periods are 25 minutes long, but some of them seem to last for endless kalpas. And some of them are over in a moment. And really, some of them are shorter, but unless Esther falls asleep, none of them are longer. 25 minutes doesn't seem like a long time until you sit and sit and sit through a morning like our late morning today, through an afternoon like our afternoon today. The perception of time keeps changing. And the teaching of kalpas is that there are four qualities, I guess you might say, or four time frames for every kalpa. There's the time that the kalpa is coming into existence. And then there's the time that the kalpa is abiding. And then there's the time that it begins to disintegrate. And then once it's fully disintegrated or burned up or completely drowned, then there's a void for a while, and out of that void begins another kalpa. This is that cosmological teaching of Buddhism. Endless, endless coming into form, abiding, disintegrating, and falling again into emptiness. And this is a reflection of our lives. And even more, particularly right now, it's a reflection of Sesshin. It took a while to put this Sesshin together, as we mentioned kalpas ago last night. A lot of work went into it, the registration and the planning, the tanto and training the assistant tanto, working to create all the different forms for this particular Sesshin. A manual, we have a manual. Some of you don't know that we follow. A lot of work into the creation, and then here it is. And still, the first night and the first day, it feels to me like it's still coming into shape. Although last night, when the bells rang and we did our first sitting period, it was already solid. And of course, as Alan Sensei mentioned, this is the third week of a three-week period, maybe a three-week kalpa. So in a way, the abiding has already begun. As we begin to move into this abiding, things become less stressful for us. We know which way to turn. We know what the bells mean. We know how to bow. We know where to wash our hands, and we know where our beds are. Things get comfortable. This becomes our life. It's not quite that yet, but as the days go on, we will abide in this kalpa we call Sesshin. And then the disintegration comes. Now, maybe for some of you, that's already started, and that means you're just an advanced student. because the disintegration that happens with all forms, kalpas and sashins, human beings, blades of grass, is a natural part of the process of the life of anything. And in Zen practice, we value the disintegration because we know that what is disintegrating is the form of the self, the form of all of our ideas about who we think we are, and also who we think others are, how we think the world is. Notice that I keep repeating the word think, because this is a very cognitive process, this creation of a self, this creation of the stories that buoy up the self. When they begin to disintegrate, it can be a little scary. It can be unnerving. It can be puzzling. Wait a minute, I thought I knew who I was, and maybe I don't know who I am. And when the disintegration begins, this is the moment when a monk might come forward and say, in the great kalpa fire, does it all go? Am I going to just disappear? And the teacher says, yes, it does. Not as bad news, but as a way to understand that this is a process of wearing down something that used to be useful, but is not useful when it comes to waking up to our true nature. The disintegration of the kalpa, the deterioration. We know this because we're human beings in human bodies. We know the truth of it. We know that everything, every sashin we've ever been to, for those of us who've come to so many, every experience we have, this human body, all disintegrating. And if we try to, as David said in a Dharma talk earlier in this three-week version of the retreat, why do we keep trying to patch it together? I want to encourage you, once the disintegration starts happening for you, to welcome it, to think of it as a kind of melting, a kind of revealing. When things begin to deteriorate, those of us who are of a certain age know this, then other things begin to show themselves. It's like when the waves come up on the shore and then they float back into the ocean and all of this stuff is revealed. Stones and shells and multicolored sands, depending on where you are. The revelation of what is here when the self, when the body, when the kalpa begin to disintegrate is what we're adventuring into. And then the teaching is that after the disintegration comes nothing. Not wonderful insights and revelations and ideas and stories that we can tell to other people about how great Sesshin is. It all goes. But because of the way we're constructed, it begins to take shape again. And in a 7-day sesshin, this cycle of becoming and abiding and disintegrating and the void can happen over and over and over again. Tonight we'll go to sleep and we'll discover what it's like to dream, to lose awareness. That's a kind of disintegration. And then we'll wake up tomorrow and we'll pull ourselves together, because that's what we do, and we will come down and have tea and kentan and doksan. We'll sit and we'll walk. All of these will happen as we abide in sesshin, and then through this strange process, the disintegration will begin again. So my encouragement to you tonight is to welcome all the aspects of life, and life right now in the form of sesshin. Letting it be as it is, it goes with the other. There's no need to try to hold yourself together any longer. Right now, everything you've been searching for is here. Thank you.